Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, MLK, FBI, and Small Axe. All right, David, you've definitely piqued interest with these titles.
Well, I hope so. And we have a theme this week because, as we know, Hollywood is grappling these days with the idea of better representing minority populations and minority artists and minority audiences. And it's making fitful progress in these areas, but there still is a fairly good amount of minority cinema out there, always has been. It's just that it is a very small proportion of what we actually get to see. And I am able to talk this week about three considerable releases, all of which are really very much about Black people. They are the work of Black filmmakers, they are about Black people, and they deal with subjects of great concern to the Black audience, and yet I certainly, as a white person, related very readily to all of them. So we have three, not the only movies out there that deal with minorities or with Blacks, but three movies that are out there right now that are widely available by streaming, and each one of which I can recommend in different ways. They are, aside from their fascination with Black people and Black culture and Black societies, very, very different from each other. And the first one that I want to talk about is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And this is directed by George C. Wolfe, a very gifted Black director. And it is based on a play. It's adapted from a play by the great Black playwright August Wilson. He wrote a cycle of plays that deal with different decades in American society, and this is one from the 1920s, and it takes place in Chicago, and it deals very much with, yes, you guessed it, Ma Rainey, the very, very great Black blues singer, a very major Black blues singer whose name, I suppose, is not widely known these days, very much in the vein of Bessie Smith, who was her main rival, and Bessie Smith was actually better known and I guess a more towering figure, but Ma Rainey was just fine, and she sang this real down and dirty blues, had a very gravelly kind of a style, and she was a real powerful artist in her field. And in this movie, she is played marvelously by Viola Davis. It's an amazing performance that Davis gives. She is covered with the kind of makeup that I guess Ma Rainey actually used to wear, and she sings and she lords it over everybody. And the movie, like the play that it's based on, takes place mainly in a recording studio. The play takes place entirely in the recording studio. The movie gets us a little bit outside once in a while. And Ma Rainey is there for a recording session. She's supposed to put together an album, and her band is there, and the members of the band, one of whom, by the way, is played by the very gifted and tragically short-lived Chadwick Boseman. They're there, and they're waiting for her, and then she finally shows up, and they're rehearsing, and she gets into some conflicts with the two white guys who are there, one of whom is her manager, the other one of whom runs the recording studio, and there's some very amusing and not so amusing little racial tension that goes on. But what we mainly have, and that makes the most impression in the movie, is conflicts within the band members themselves. These guys, they're not all young, these guys who are musicians, and they've been musicians for a long time, and they're just there to make their money and then get out of there, and they have some discussions and some arguments and some confrontations and whatnot. And then all the time, Ma Rainey herself is sort of drifting in and out of the action. So that's what it's about. It's a very dialogue-driven movie. Of course, it's based on a play, and plays are almost always dialogue-driven. So we have a lot of really interesting talk. There's a little too much storytelling in it for my taste. Every once in a while, one of the members of the band will sit there and will tell some long story, and that kind of thing works better on the stage, I think, than it does in the movies. Another problem that the movie has, it's a small problem, but the play has the same problem, is that it culminates with a couple of moments of real melodrama. And to me, the whole thing is about talk. It's about real people going through sort of real conversations and confrontations and interactions, and we don't need the melodrama that crowns the whole thing. But again, this is just sort of a minor complaint on my part. I found the movie to be beautifully acted, really, really elegantly made. And again, Viola Davis is just extraordinary as Ma Rainey. It's one of those amazing performances that will live in memory for a long time. And for that reason alone, I would really recommend it. But it's also marvelous as an adaptation of a play by the great August Wilson. Not too long ago, we had another one of his plays, Fences, which was made also into a really, really good film. And it's just a good, solid, dramatic movie that is for audiences of all kinds, not only members of minority groups, not only black moviegoers. I'm delighted that it's out there, and well, I hope it really flourishes and finds a very, very large viewership. Second movie I want to talk about today really bears up my thesis that there's very, very little difference nowadays between the movies that get released theatrically and that go, you know, that are meant to be seen on the big screen and the movies that get released in ways where we see them on the small screen, because they are, they're just sort of one great big flow. And now with still most movie theaters all over the place being closed, of course, so many movies that would go into theaters first are being released on the small screen. But I really think that it doesn't make much difference. If you have some sort of a decent size TV screen, or if you can put a small one fairly close to your eyes, you'll have a pretty good movie watching experience. And that goes very much for the couple of movies I want to talk about now. First of all, MLK FBI. The MLK stands for Martin Luther King. The FBI stands for Federal Bureau of Investigation. And this is a movie. It's a documentary. This is our only documentary for the day. It was directed by Sam Pollard, who's a very, very gifted film editor. He directed, edited a number of Spike Lee's great movies back during the, mainly during the 90s and early 2000s. And he's really, really talented as an editor. And he directed this movie, but it's largely a question of editing together all different kinds of material, of archival footage, tape recordings, things like that. And what the movie is about is the FBI's persecution of Martin Luther King. And it really was a genuine persecution. It was just outrageous what had happened. But the FBI decided that Martin Luther King, actually J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, decided that Martin Luther King was a menace to American society. They decided that he was a racial agitator and that he was a communist and he was this and that. And they really went after him and they spied on him and they made his life miserable in all sorts of ways. One of the most notorious things that they did was to gather material on his private life, including tape recordings of what appeared to be, they're tape recordings, and they're tape recordings made with this technology of decades ago, and there is a whole lot of ambiguity there. But yes, it does appear that he was having some sort of relationships with women, not his wife, and they used this material to try to blackmail him. And at one point, they were actually sending him correspondence, which appears to have been designed to try to get him to commit suicide. Just horrific things that went on. Now, Martin Luther King is, for me, and I'm sure for many people, one of the great American heroes. He was not only a great advocate for racial justice, he was an opponent of the Vietnam War back in the days when that was going so horribly off the war. And above all, in my mind, he was an advocate for nonviolent resistance. He was an absolutely amazing figure who took the principles of Gandhi and transferred them to American racial protest. And for those reasons alone, I think he is just one of the great American heroes. And here we have the FBI tormenting him and going after him and trying to end his career and possibly even end his life. A horrifying thing. And this is what the new documentary, MLK FBI, what it gets into and what it illustrates and what it really shows us through, again, archival footage and recordings and whatnot. Now, a lot of the material related to this episode in American history, this sorry episode, is under seal and still will be under seal for another few years from now. But Pollard got a hold of a lot of really amazing material, and again, he puts it together in phenomenally dramatic ways. So if you want to see a movie which is very real, it's a documentary about recent American history, which is also hugely dramatic in every possible way, then MLK FBI is the movie for you. And it is, as an educational experience, it should be shown and seen everywhere. It's a really, really major film. It's an excellent film, and I support it 100%, and I just really want to suggest people go see it. It's a really dramatic, entertaining movie, and it's also horrifying, and it will teach you a whole lot of stuff that maybe, well, that we just all need to keep in mind, because things like this still go on today. Last movie I want to talk about today, Jill, is actually five movies, and it's a very unusual series. It's a basically it's a TV miniseries, but it consists of five feature films. The overall title is Small Axe, and that title comes from a proverb that was made popular by the great reggae singer Bob Marley in a 1973 song. And the line goes, "If you are the big tree, we are the small axe." And this the whole movie is about takes place in all five movies take place in London, and it's about West Indian immigrants in London. So again, a black minority population, and the big tree, of course, is English society, English racism, English social difficulty, and about how there are various people who have served as the small axes that chip away and chip away and chip away at the racism that goes on in everyday life, and very often participated in and abetted by and even driven by the police, which is a big sort of continuing theme in this series of five feature films. So the films are very, very different lengths. They range in length, two of them, the first one and the last one, are just a little bit over an hour long. Another one is well over 2 hours long, and the others are somewhere in between. But again, they're all feature-length films, and they do not tell one continuous story. They tell five separate stories, each one of which has its own dramatic interest. The first one is called Lover's Rock, and again, this one's just a little over an hour long. And it's basically the story of a party that takes place in the 1980s in West London. And we have people arriving for the party, preparing for the party, having the party. They dance, they sing, they get into little confrontations, they get into little fights. Romance blossoms, romance gets squelched. All these things happen within one very tightly edited hour or so in this house where these people are having this party. And what we really get is a very sort of homey glimpse of black life, young black life. These are young people in the early 1980s. And there are also references, and these, a lot of American viewers won't get this right away, at least, references to a tragedy that took place shortly after this party that we're watching in the early 80s. There was a terrible fire in which a number of people were killed, and some people feel to this day that the fire may have been set as an act of racial provocation, of racial hatred, and there are just references to that. But what we mainly have here is the party, and so the movie itself is a kind of a party. It has its dark moments, but it's a party, so have a nice time with that nice little party. Now, another one of the movies, Mangrove, is really very, very different from that. This is one that goes on a lot longer, and it's about the police persecution of some people who were hanging around and operating a restaurant in London back in 1970. And the police kept putting pressure on. They didn't like the place just because it was frequented by black people, and they tried to have it shut down, and they did different things, and ultimately there was an uprising. And then there was a trial, and this trial established for the first time officially in England that the Metropolitan Police in London were being driven, at least to some extent, by racial animus. So that's what Mangrove is about. It's about the starting of this restaurant, Mangrove. It's about the tensions that arose. It's about the uprising that took place, and then it's about the trial that followed that. The other three movies are, again, each very different from the others. One is called Red, White, and Blue. This is about a young man who, when he was very young, saw his father attacked by a couple of policemen, and he then decided not to go into the opposition, but to join the Metropolitan Police and try to reform things from the inside. So that's what this is about. It's about a real-life person named Leroy Logan, who didn't respond to hatred with hatred, but respond to hatred by joining the police and deciding to reform the institution from the inside. And we get his story very dramatically told in Red, White, and Blue. Another one called Alex Wheatle, again, deals with a real-life person, the person who named in the title, who ultimately became an award-winning author. But the movie deals with him when he was a very young boy and then into his early adulthood. He grew up without a family. He was raised largely by white people. Eventually, he discovered that he loved music. He became a DJ, but then he went to prison. And so that was a turning point in his life back in the early 80s. And then the last movie that I'll mention, well, the last of the five, is called Education. And it's about a little boy who loves the idea of space travel and being an astronaut, which is what he would like to do. He is misdiagnosed as being mentally challenged. And his parents can't do anything about this because they're so busy just trying to earn a living. But he eventually overcomes all kinds of difficulties that assail him. And he eventually becomes an author and educator himself. So these are the five movies of small acts. Each one is worth seeing. I don't think that any of them is a great film, but they add up to a very, very worthwhile series by this terrific British director, Steve McQueen, not the actor, but the director. And I really recommend them. They are very widely streaming, and small acts. Each of the five films is worth seeing. So that is my somewhat minority-oriented story this week, Jill, on this Christmas Eve when we are recording this.
For which we thank you as ever and always, and wish you Merry Christmas. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, MLK, FBI, and Small Axe.